Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
everyone. That was The Word You Cannot Say, a poem written by Jay Hatter and then put to music by the poet Shout Evenshai. She is also the singer on that tune. This is A Team of Voices Radio, sponsored by A.P. Taylor, and we all hang at allpoetry.com. This is Deborah Lee, and I'm your host tonight. We are here most nights of the week with different hosts or hostesses and different times. If you are a member of allpoetry.com, you can find us under the group tab, A Team of Voices, and I'll meet you at the door. And in the room, we use the chat wall to share the links to the poems so that you can follow along and comment. You're also invited to call in and participate, and you can do that at 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And tonight we are featuring the color black, and I provided tons of art, and the poets chose their art and took it wherever it led them. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they came up with tonight. I also have the first two that we'll do are left from the red show last week because I could not get the studio to accept the sounds, but I have them in there now, so I want to get them on. And then we will jump into our last color from the color series, as I mentioned. It's black. And I am going to get this show on the road and let some people in. So I have the mentioned sponsor of our show, Mr. A.P. Taylor. Hello, A.P. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hi. How are you?
I am hanging in. How about you?
I'm good. No, good. Surprisingly good.
Good. And I have my co-host, my big brother Hatter, on the line. Hey, Hatter. Glad you're here.
Hey. Yeah, me too. Made it. I got a red door and I want to paint it black.
Do you? Well, then let's get on that.
Yeah, just saying.
Good timing. The red door left over from last week, we'll paint it black this week. And this just might be a Gress man on the line. Gress, is that you?
Yeah, it's me. How you doing?
Hey,
hey,
all right. How you doing? Good to hear you.
Yeah.
I suppose you're nowhere near where the tornado did all the damage?
I can stay up late.
Aha. That's cool. I'm glad you called. You're nowhere near where the tornadoes hit?
No, those are north of here.
Good. Okay. You seem to get lucky when these things hit. Glad your luck is holding out.
Don't tell anybody.
I won't. All right. Now, if you guys look on the board, as I said, I'm going to do the two that were left from last week. And then we'll jump into black. And, okay, this is a recording from Titus. So if you guys click on his poem. And Titus, I'm glad you're out of the hospital. I hope you're feeling much better now.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go, you guys. I'm going to push play. And we will hear Titus' red poem. And here we go.
The forfeit of love. This fear of smothering you with fire has been so cruel. Tis a rule of thumb to keep the wretched heart of any man who'd prey upon that sacred heart of yours. The dark inner peace it will forfeit no less, a willing process of the color red. It will keep diligence and loyalty at bay. One must not then indicate any further than a candle to aspire warmth in respect to little trust. It has taken 15 years to earn the right to your heart. My own is at best travelled far and alone. The deepest red cordons my soul with yearning that is so sincere. 'Tis still unclear why this fear of losing, having lost her once before, found again once in a lifetime its watered down red to conserve the plasma. Our love carries the purity of hearts. It compels all theory.
Well, to keep the wretched heart of any man who'd prey upon that sacred heart of yours, there's a statement. Or is that down towards the middle? It's taken 15 years to earn the right to your heart. My own is at best traveled far and alone. The deepest red cordons my soul with yearning that is so sincere. That is like undying declaration in there. And 15 years to get it to where they could be together. That's a long time and a lot of work, and I'm happy for them, and they're still going strong now, which is awesome. And I loved it till was it once in a lifetime? It's watered down red to conserve the plasma. Our love carries the purity of heart. It compels all theory. I think this is my new favorite by Titus. It's just so declarative of love and the time and the commitment and the forfeit of love. I was a little up, you know, wondering where we were going to go, this fear of smothering you with fire. And then, you know, sometimes people do say, you're smothering me, give me space. And through the space and any struggles, they made it, and that's the most important thing. But awesome poem, absolutely awesome. Love where he took that bottle. AP, what do you think?
Well, look, it's a lovely piece of music in the background, and it was sort of the French horn has a sort of pining to it, and the lovely thing about this poem is the recognition of how much work it takes to actually build on a relationship and to build something incredibly solid with another person. But then that, you know, once you've built that, you've got to keep building. And there's always this worry or sense in the back of your head that this commitment will, you know, not be matched. And so you've just got to keep on working on it. And for me, that was the sort of lovely sense of the sort of the sort of love and commitment that came through in the words. Step.
Fabulous comment. Gress, what do you think?
I think when no matter how long it takes to find somebody in that love, once you connect, it's like it's just fresh all over again. I mean, it's like you never lost it to begin with. So when you connect again, it's just as strong as it was before. And we all have that somebody that we know in our lives that, well, for me, I have a person in my life that if they said anything tomorrow, I'd be there in a minute. But, you know, that's how it goes. I loved it. It was very nice.
Great comment. And I'm going to try and stick to three a poem and see what happens. So I'll get Hatter to go first after this one. So if you guys would click on Gerald's poem, it's also his red poem from last week, and I will push play. We can hear what he brought us this time. And here we go.
Middle East Contractor, written and read by Gerald Green. He sips his morning coffee, confident that great success awaits as Gaza's machine of turmoil and discontent grinds on with relentless pace. While the world groans at the conflagration, he and his colleagues recognize the red sky beyond the horizon where everything burns and collapses. A few words of encouragement here and money there fosters hate that brings destruction, a well-worn formula. But this time is different, with more to rebuild than ever. Whole cities gone, millions living in tents. In his head, the contractor calculates the numbers and smiles. 2025 looks to be a banner year, where profits will exceed all records. Today's coffee has a sweeter taste.
While the world groans at the conflagration, he and his colleagues recognize the red sky beyond the horizon where everything burns and collapses. Potent. But this time is different. With more to rebuild than ever, more cities gone, millions living in tents. And when we get to the next line, in his head, the contractor calculates and smiles. It's always back to that almighty dollar. But to sit there and look at death and destruction and to not have compassion but instead start tallying your cha-chings is pretty hateful. And there's so many things going on in the world that the turmoil and distress is like you can feel it in the air. And It's sad. And when is it going to end? And I mean, what can we do except feel a horrible sense of the tragedy that, you know, is overwhelming them and cry? I mean, it's terrible. And to bring it back to this contractor, it is pretty brilliant. It's one way to get you to see and feel and to point out a sad truth, that it always comes back to money. Great share, Gerald. Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, I sort of get what he's saying here, and it's such a complicated thing. But contractor, I seem to remember them saying, well, these are government contracts being handed out to friends and stuff like that. I'll tell you what, would you want to go over there and work as a contractor? No, this is a war zone. It will be a war zone for quite a while, unsafe. So the people that have to go over there to reestablish communications, water, electricity, whatever they got to do, is a dangerous part of this also. And it's after, it's looking after the whatever happens over there. I don't want to get political either. But yeah, it's all about the money. And it will be. It will always be. Good point,
yep.
Jerry.
And to sit there and think that he's celebrating over that cup of coffee that's so much sweeter than it was before this type of thing, you know? Very powerful piece. AP?
Yeah, look, I've enjoyed this because it's a piece on perspective, Deb. I mean, the thing about, we think about war and conflict and we think about people in the middle of it and the combatants, but we rarely think about what actually happens afterwards. And it's true that people actually benefit from the destruction and things that happen in war. That might post a little bad, but at the end of the day, that infrastructure and those buildings and those hospitals and those shops need to be rebuilt. And the quicker they're rebuilt, the better the people are. So I guess the final thing I was going to say is that if you have a look at warfare over the past 200 years, World War II was clearly where the most deaths occurred. And World War One came sort of immediately after it. And then I think probably the biggest was the conflict between Japan and China in the 1930s. So it's awful to think about what's going on at the minute in the Middle East. But if I was a contractor for a minute, on the raw numbers, we've had a death toll of about 50,000. In World War II, we had a death toll of 30 million. And so, you know, we worked out how to kill people in World War II, and we haven't quite got as good at it since. Thank goodness for that. End comment.
Great comment. Now, Griff, I put yours on the board.
All right. Well, I saw the black cat today, and I have a special place in my heart because we have two black cats that we rescued from the shelter. Their name is Ravage and Mayhem. So this is their story, their little story that I wrote to it. My son adopted two black cats on Halloween. He named them Ravage and Mayhem. But they're both the nicest cats ever seen. When young, they were the tortilla tandem. A big mistake, my son left out the tortillas, half eaten and scattered all throughout the house. Their kitten ivory squeaks, it gave them diarrhea. And they laid brownies on his girlfriend's blouse. You couldn't stay mad at the cute little ass faces as they snuggled and rubbed you, like to say, "You're not bad." And then they run sideways and begin to play. Believe it or not, they mostly like to end up dead if you hadn't saved them that day, because black cats are called bad luck, a reason black plague spread. Nothing further from the truth. I love those cats. The color of their fur has no evil connotation, so if you see a black cat out running and running around loose with emerald or wheat-colored eyes, God's creation, just remember, be kind and please don't abuse. We lost Ravage for 10 days. It was hard on my son. Every night he'd search the neighborhood, saw him twice, but as soon as we'd get him, he'd run. Got a tip from the lady. She fed him. She was good. We reunited Ravage and Mayhem, the tortilla tandem. Thank you, nice lady. Thank you, God. Amen.
Chris, is that them at the bottom?
Yes, that's when we. That's when they moved over here to the new house. It was in the back of his Jeep, and they were just so happy to be, you know, together and on a trip.
No, it does. It looks like they have this big grin on their faces, and they're like, "Where are we going? Let's go. Let's do this." Like, they're happy, and the adrenaline's kicked in, and they look like they've had some coffee. But seriously, this is so cute, and I can imagine those 10 days how hard it was. And I love their names. This is so cute. We're not bad. We could have chewed laces, and then they run sideways and begin to play. But I was, like, blown away. Your poor girlfriend's blouse, the diarrhea. They laid brownies on his girlfriend's. Brownies? No. No, Gresh, they're not brownies. This is very cool. And I like the fact that they stayed together so that they didn't have to be apart. Because, it's sad enough when they're a rescue to begin with, but if they had something that was a comfort and they lost that and had to adjust to a new place, it's so hard. So it's a big deal, big heart to take them all in.
Very, yeah, very cool. You know, black cats are 70% more likely to be euthanized than any other color of cat, just so you know. And just because they have black coats and it's a bad omen or whatever, superstition, whatever you want to say. And so that's why my son adopted both of them. He was only going to do one, and then he couldn't give up on the brother, so he took both of them.
Oh, he's got a tender heart and a soft spot like his dad, huh?
And being generous, yeah, he is.
I think that's very sweet. And I have read before, because of the stigma that comes with the, you know, the black cat crossing your path type of thing, that it is sadly to be euthanized, and just that thought is really, really sad, you know, any cat period. But talk about the judging a book by its cover thing. Some of the sweetest cats I've met have been black cats, you know, like, okay, my little guy has a white patch, a couple of them, but he's primarily black. And I mean, I've never known a cat so smart, or he thinks he's a puppy and he follows me and he comes when he's called. And I've never known a cat like him, so I can't really complain. But like I said, he's mostly black, and so I hear you.
Yeah.
Hatter, what you think?
No, I think it's if you rescue a kitten and you don't have the time to spend with them a lot of time, it's smart to get two of them to rely on. And that must have been a hell of a 10 days.
It was rough, because we was out checking the neighborhood three or four. My son was. The first 4 days, he'd get up every hour on the hour and go outside looking for him, just so he could find him.
Yeah. Yeah, and he'd run from you? You saw him a couple times? And
Yeah, he run away.
I guess he was kind of scared and somewhat new, right? So he wasn't sure.
Yeah.
That's Roscoe. Exactly, yes. And he's in the ShopRite bag. He loves it. So he got to keep it. But yeah, primarily black.
In the picture, which one went missing in the picture?
Ravage.
On the writer.
He's the Ravage. He went outside and for 10 days. That's the one standing up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it looks like they got something to say right there. I'm telling you all about it.
Awesome. Okay, so let me see. Two things. Hatter, are you sticking with the one that's on the board, or did you finish the one that you're working on?
Yeah. No, I just got to go with the vault. Yeah, pre-rate.
Okay, well.
Didn't happen.
All right, just double-checking. So, AP, why don't you read yours for us?
Yes, I can do that, Deb. I should say that this was inspired by a trip about 30 years ago. I still remember it, of going down a coal mine, an active coal mine near Sydney, South Sydney, with my work. And we went down about 2 miles. Had all the protective gear on, the lights on, everything else, and we got told to turn the lights off on our helmets when we were right down the middle of the shaft with nothing happening, and it's black like I've never seen before. This is somewhat reptilian. It goes a bit like this. The last vestiges of vivid vermilion, they echo brief to open eyes. Peering stare by focus reptilian till light fades away in disguise. Moving towards deeper places, capes to cover emboldened air. Eerily too, many colourful graces summarily depart to elsewhere. Crevices deep of darkest pitch, mines elevators still lightly airy. Darkness surrounds into which a worn path leads for the wary. Hand you can sense is ahead. Their eyes simply cannot place. Once seen to pallid have fled, only remains in absence face. Captured in loss, our base fear, the state of mind does rack. Whistles of steam then appear, ashes burnt deep in palm.
Awesome. Moving toward deeper places, capes to covered emboldened air. Eerily, too, any colorful graces summarily depart to elsewhere. And elsewhere seems like such a spooky place in that moment there. But, oh, my goodness, reptilian eyes, absolutely creepy, peering stare by focused reptilian. I mean, you know, you get the goosebumps thinking of that. And just the thought of being in there in the pitch black and you know, you imagine how dusty it is, or sooty, is that a word? Anyway, you're in there, you're I don't know, you're looking for that canary to make sure it's still breathing type of thing. Hand you can sense is ahead, our eyes simply cannot place. One seen to pallid have fled, only remains in absent face. It's like you're feeling along, trying to get somewhere, and then all of a sudden, only remains in absent face. It's just, there's so many spooky nuances there. And I have to admit, I do think that the whistles of steam that appear, you could almost hear them, that sizzling whistle that happens when you get near steam, burnt deep inside black, definitely. But you turned around and you went dark with this photo and you really captured it. And could you imagine walking along a mine or anywhere in the dark and coming across that face? Not me. No. Very, very cool. Very cool.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you.
Grass, what do you think?
Well, he says in the thing is, they saw it like 30 years ago, and I know what that's like when you see something you really don't want to really know that you've seen, but you saw it and it stays with you forever, because nobody's going to believe you that you saw this thing. And then when you, especially like when you say it's like a demon or something like that, you don't know what you saw. And I like the descriptive way that you put it, that, you know, that eyes that simply cannot place once the palate has fled, only remains the absent space. I mean, it's just like one of those things that stays in your head. It's like it never will go away. I had a similar thing with a ghost, or what I thought was a ghost behind me, and when I was driving.
Yeah.
So it's like one of those things that's like, and all your hairs on your body just stand up, and you get that cool, all of a sudden you feel like that cool breeze that comes across you when you have that something that's chilling and scary. And that's what I feel like you felt, like, damn, you know, like you couldn't get out of there fast enough. I mean, damn, it's scary. It's a scary feeling. It's real. I mean, I know what you're going through. I know what you're talking about when you talk about the reptilian eyes and all these things that just will scare, like, you know, nobody, you know, it's just like the stupid horror movies. Nobody acts like
yeah.
that in a horror movie. If somebody sees something, you're getting the hell out of there.
You're yeah.
running out of there fast as you can. Very good
yeah.
job, AP. Enjoyed
no.
it.
Thank you, Chris. Jeez.
You mean when you get somebody break into your house, you don't run off the steps, Chris?
No, I get out of there.
Me too.
Nope.
Me too. Say hello to Sweet Pea.
Hello, Sweet.
Hello, hello, hello.
Glad you're here, my sweet.
Howdy. Okay.
Thank you. I brought you a small book.
A small book? Well,
yes,
why don't you show us what's in the book?
Oh, my goodness. It's quite the small book. I apologize. Okay. Okay, well, all right. I'll start right away. Okay, this is the ridicule ruler on the River Styx. I am the keeper of self-reflection, a proclivity for self-criticism. Remove all falsehood and demonize of individual character. I create chaos, sacrifice your purity, help you defecate your pride. I light the match that burns you for life's mistakes. Ghosts of past haunt night dreams, unbury lies, revive viciousness, a path of veiled kindness, cryptic in cruelty. Memories of narcissistic pride and lies tangled into branches, grown into roots of hateful memories. Left, be unburied now. Let me tend to your garden, pull up the weeds, live barely above the mud covered in unkindness. Nay, lock lips to silence, no harsh words in friendship's name, a watch falling chunks of integrity. As we die in the lies we build in pretty face perceptions. Add the putty, pat the clay, rub out the scratches, no cracks displayed. Hide all indecencies, dress the part of civility. Let no wrong speak their claim in a word. We'd all be hanged by those who cling to the falseness of purity and morality. Tired of being insane, spew it all out. Strike this claim. I've been beaten, battered, and bruised. Now look upon my wounds, for centuries hidden like the monsters of children's sprites. See my scars open, bleeding, heartbroken, still sobbing. Never trust the mind you're residing in. Personal antagonists, like tricks of tortures, tricks of love, emotional brain decay. Blaming every decision since the first grade. Suicidal claiming, raging, never escaped the cycle of insanity. A melody, hum on. Shh. Hide it all. Find yourself lonely. And phrase again in poem.
Damn sweet. You know, okay, I couldn't wait to see where you went because, you know, I think this is the first time in a really long time somebody was so enthusiastic. You said 36, 36, 36, and damn it, 36, as if you didn't know. 36. I'm like, okay, I really think this chick likes this art. And man, did it speak to you. Holy cow. Okay. I create chaos, sacrifice your purity, help you defecate your pride. Oh, my, that's brilliant wording there. Defecate your pride. Love it, love it. Let me tend to your garden, pull up the weeds, live barely above the mud, covered in unkindness, nay, lock lips to silence. I mean, your wording, your visuals, and the putty, pat the clay, rub out the scratches, no cracks displayed. Hide all indecencies, dress the part of civility, let no wrong speak their claim. In a word, we'll all be hanged. Like, damn, I mean, it just, it keeps hitting and hitting all the way through. Tired of being insane? Spew it all out. Spew it all out. If only that could happen, like, you know, for centuries hidden like the monsters, children, sprites. And I have to stop stealing pieces because I have to leave something for somebody else. But, sweet, this was really good. And I mean, like I said, it's obvious that this art screamed at you. And, I mean, I can see you there. Ooh, wicked. Ridicule, ruler of the river Styx. Didn't expect you to go there either. But then you always present the unexpected. And I like it. Now I love it.
Thank you.
Fabulous call.
Thank you.
Grass. Steve, you muted?
Oh, yep.
Mm.
I said, I went a different way. I said the destinations in your mind that are scarier than what's imagined. We all have our secrets that scare us and found out. We have a society or have Puritan view still, and we think that it's wrong to think differently than the masses. And it's like you wear, you know, there's so many things that you wish you could say sometimes that you just can't say because you know it's not good to say it out loud. But you're in your mind, you're saying so many things that you want to say, especially if anybody's ever worked in retail, the things that go through your head that people are whining about, and then you think to yourself, why in the hell are you whining about this? And there's so many other things that is wrong in the world, and you're being a little bitch about this. I love this poem. This is like my favorite of yours, CP. This is like really, really good. It has so many things in it that I can relate to. So I really enjoyed
it. Thank you. Thank you.
Very good job.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And Heather?
Hey, the coupon said 10 cents off. You're in my day. Yeah, pick your battles. I don't know where that came from. What was the part? Maybe 10 years ago. I'm the keeper. Create chaos, sacrifice your purity. You're all over this, Sweets. I was hanging on for a while. But you threw me about the time you were failing chunks of integrity. Chunks, what a great word. Falling chunks.
Thank you.
What that look like?
And AP, do you want to comment for Sweets?
Yeah, I do. I had a really horrible class in year nine, and you'll see why this makes sense in the tick. And we were doing art, and we were doing clay in art. Now, the teacher would keep on us all the time to knead the clay to leave no holes in it. Because if you leave holes in clay, you put it in the kiln and it explodes. But people in my class would do the best they possibly could to actually hide those holes, and they would do it deliberately. They would make a big lump of shaped clay, and it would have two or three massive cavities inside, and you'd put it in the kiln and it would explode across everything. It was like little bombs going off. And
my God.
It sort of reminded me of this poem in the sense of the person who's sitting on the outside is perfectly glazed and yet it's got these sort of holes sitting in there waiting for something to go and explode a piece of it and not just take themselves out, but take all these people out with them. And there's something beautifully violent and dark about this, and I'm glad that we've recovered those tendencies. And
thank you.
Now, sweet, before we move to the next poem, how long are you staying?
I am not staying long, and I'm not going to be there Thursday. I'm sorry. My grandson is graduating from high school.
It's fine, except I thought you switched to Tuesday this week. Is that not
correct? Oh, is it Tuesday? Is it tomorrow? Tomorrow works
yes.
fine.
Yes.
I thought we were still on Thursday. Okay, no,
yeah,
I will
no,
be
no.
here tomorrow.
Okay,
good.
Tell us about the wonderful topic that I cannot wait for.
Okay, tomorrow night will be interview someone, interview anyone, interview a thing, interview a baseball hat, I don't care, interview the pitcher's mound, interview the pitcher on the mound, interview king of the world, I don't care, interview your big toe, but bring me a poem about somebody you interviewed, or a thing you interviewed, or a person, or a straw out of a sippy cup. That's tomorrow night's show, and I'm very excited about that, so... Yeah, let's do it. I'm very excited. Just come on down and show me who you interviewed. I personally interviewed Common Sense, so we'll see how that goes.
Oh, wow. that sounds really cool.
I was a good talking to.
I was really angry with the studio.
Anymore.
Didn't let you in.
Is that like interviewing Santa Claus?
Well, pretty much, yeah. He was really lonely. He was very lonely, let me tell you. We had the whole place to ourselves.
Oh, like one of the brains.
We were very, very, very much alone in a big old warehouse.
Awesome. And then on Wednesday night, we have storyboards with Sky Darkholm. She starts between 8:30 and 9:30, depending on her schedule. She is doing the Similarians, Volume 5, and she has quotes and descriptions and art. Take your pick. Or write something that's related to the same subject that's in her descriptions. And then on Thursday this week, we'll be off. And on Friday, we have open poetry at Liquid Damage Lounge with Linda and Carmine. She goes live at 10. And open poetry, self-explanatory. And at 9 o'clock on Saturday, we go live with AP. And he has open poetry as well. And we, Gresh, you'd like this part. We always share a classic poem. We got the idea from you, so thanks. Again, that's 9 o'clock. And I'm not sure. I'm going to have to double-check about Sunday. And then that'll bring us back to my show Monday night, till 10 o'clock. And it will be Pinterest Potpourri. I just got a whole bunch of really cool stuff. Whatever screams at you, go for it. And that's a whole week. Now, if you guys would click on Titus, this is his recording for his black poem. And as soon as you do that, I will push play. Hold on 1 second because Wayne is here and I know he has a time crunch. Hi, Wayne.
Hey.
Welcome to the show.
Glad to be there. It's great. There's a big point. Sweetie had a great poem. I just got to read it. It has a wonderful poem. And we'll say in the next 30, 40 minutes. So I'm here for a while. I'll be here for a while.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Well, then I'll get yours on shortly. If you click on the recording that Titus sent, we'll continue on with his black rite. And here we go.
Thou dark my other half, I'm deemed to carry a dark hidden truth. The silence in the playground at my school seems as a misfit to welcome the uncouth. 'Tis centered upon the behavior of misrule. To wizen a discreet dark it towers above. The crows would lead my mother's laugh. Overheard some conscious fret, hard love. It shall laden much the spirit on behalf, which tells me not so far away is that arcane. My being good 'twas forced upon. The ridicule of time it will have me sat. To fear another day, the future withdrawn. To whom women, children, or any man unable to love, it will have disabled them if passion seeks to transpire further than to hearten, to encourage, not to condemn. Rhyme keeps the order of pleasantry neat. Beyond the realms of chaos it so chooses to keep good order for the day. A discreet assessment of loss one silence discloses. A fact of worth you cannot win them all. With this passive nature up front, factions against the odds, my being here to install duress, remains of a mother's distractions. Thoughts are diligent, darkness shrouds my better judgment to assume it appears. A contemplative gaze controls the crowds, a given warning of there will be no tears. If to absorb the understanding of another, silence would have found beyond any reason why love had not rekindled from a mother, mind outstretched beyond a winter season.
Wow. I don't even know which part to pick. The crows would lead my mother's laugh, overheard some conscious fret, hard love, it shall laden much the spirit on behalf, which tells me not so far away is that arcane good was forced upon. The thought of that, my being good was forced upon, the strictness is showing there in the words forced upon to me. Like maybe too nervous to step out of line. To whom women, children, or any man unable to love, it will have disabled them. And that's so true. Sometimes the way the things that happen in a person's life leaves them not knowing how, or even maybe not feeling it, unable to love. Those are three really sad words. This is a very, very emotional poem. I feel like I'm all over the place. A fact of worth. You cannot win with them all. I was just saying this the other day. It takes a while before you realize that no matter what you do, you can't make everybody happy. It's just a matter of when you finally realize that and stop beating yourself up over it, which I still beat myself up. I'm trying. But, man, duress remains of a mother's distractions. Thoughts are diligent. Darkness shrouds my better judgment to assume it appears. There, and by the time we get to the bottom and I see the picture there with the hood, and it's just, I don't know, even though I've got all these, like I said, all these different emotions running through me. Why love was not rekindled from a mother, mind outstretched beyond a winter season. And the thought of someone so many someones desperate for their love from mom. This was a really powerfully emotional poem. Man, sometimes when your parents are very young and they're still trying to learn and they don't always do things the best way, but hopefully it's at least the best they knew how to at the time. But it's I know I'm blessed to not have a clue what this feels like, but I wish no one did. Yeah, this is kicking my butt a bit. Powerful piece, Titus. AP, what you think?
Well, I think the author's note shows you how difficult things were when he says, "As a child, I was vocally mute, having had a wretched life until my 21st birthday." And so he's gone through the whole school experience not saying anything, and it's therefore very easy to see why he saw that darkness and that black in that period of time. I mean, that's just a remarkable thing to have endured, for want of a better word. But my sense was, when you get to the second stanza there, that it was his writing that sort of kept him on the some form of straight and narrow. I love the start of the second stanza, and I think this sort of captures Hatter for me, the sense of rhyme, far better than most things I've read, and that is, rhyme keeps the order of pleasantry neat beyond the realms of chaos it so chooses to keep good order for the day. And I think about myself as a rhyming poet, Titus as a rhyming poet, a lot of us are rhyming poets, and I think about that statement, and I think that's just an incredibly insightful view about writing. A really interesting poem, but at the same time, you got a feel for somebody who's endured what clearly Titus did in his childhood and has got through the other side. Thanks, Ted.
Great comment. Sweet, what do you think? Oh, she had to go. Wayne, what did you think?
Well, I thought this is a great, kind of a dark and straight poem that this Titus wrote, but kind of gig around a poem a little bit. Beautifully written. He overcomes some phobias. He talked about it in the AEN. I thought the AEN was about as good as the poem was. He talked about his education, how he started out, and how he was way behind at age 21, and what he accomplished in his life was pretty amazing. He's probably more educated than anybody I already know, that I know right now, as far as degrees and stuff. So he's came a long way from being downridden to where he is right now. So he did a good job and came a long way, baby, is all I can say. Good job on the coin.
Great comment, Wayne. Okay. Sweet and Gruff had to go, and I'm a little bit concerned because Hatter's been having bloody noses for a week, and his legs are all swelled up. Yeah, and his legs are all swelled up, and he just had to hang up to go tend to his bloody nose, and he'll be back. So I won't pull his poem out until he's able to come back. But in the meantime, how about if we click on Wayne's and we can play his recording?
Mm-hmm.
And here we go.
This is called Stopping at the Blackest Place by Wayne Gent. Fear not the darkness, it is a friend. It's where everything comes to an end. I am the guardian of all things black, in charge of collecting the dead to bring back. Serve the darkness, never giving a choice. Hear screams and moans, never a voice. In the darkness, there's an unforgiving peace. Inside the black emptiness, life will cease. I am not the underworld's chosen messenger. I only answer to the name of Harbinger. Bring notification of impending death to stand with you with your last breath. In the blackness of death, be judged on life had. The soul will be labeled as either good or bad. I shall transport the soul if the verdict is read. Many will regret having been rendered dead. Even I, Garden of Darkness, with stories to tell, dread taking the souls to the depths of hell. No deed seems worthy of such a penalty to spend. One should remember that death is not the end. End.
Wow, Wayne. Let's start with the end. I love the fact that it says you have to remember that death is not the end. I think that that's awesome. And when you started, I thought I had the wrong recording for a minute, but then it was right, so I guess I must have clicked something. Anyway, I am not the underworld's chosen messenger. Only answer to the name of Harbinger. Bring notifications of impending death to stand beside you with your last breath. And I'm like, whoa. In the blackness of death, be judged on life. Had the soul will be labeled as either good or bad. I shall transport souls after a verdict is read. Many will regret been rendered dead. And that part right there, many will regret being rendered dead, is every bit as spooky as the art you chose, Wayne. I don't even I, guardian of blackness with stories to tell, dread taking the souls to the depths of hell. You know that it's got to be a pretty horrifying place that you are headed to if your chaperone doesn't want to take you there. Very spooky. Right? Yeah, very spooky.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it very much. Wow. And before I get a comment from AP, Hatter, you're back. Did you get it to stop?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yep, I'm here.
Okay, good.
Thanks. Sorry.
AP, can you comment for Wayne?
Well, look, the good news, Wayne, is that I actually went to comedy here. I know that's strange, but I did. You took me to Monty Python, and you took me to a sketch on death, and I don't know why, but you did. And it's where the Grim Reaper comes in, and basically they don't realize until they start talking that everybody in this dinner party has died by eating salmon mousse, and the English wife gets all embarrassed because she's like, oh, you know, I shouldn't have gone the tins. I should have gone fresh. And the American sort of turns around to death and fires four bullets into him. It goes straight through him. It was straight. And so the Grim Reaper comes up and everybody follows them. I mean, it was just great. He did have a great comment about Englishmen, though, so here's where I apologise to Titus, but it was English people talking about English people, and this was Grim Reaper. The English guy says, now look here, you barge in here, quite uninvited, glasses, and announce quite casually that we're all dead. Well, I would remind you that you are a guest in the house, and, this is where the Grim Reaper comes in, be quiet, you Englishmen, you're all so fucking pompous. None of you have got any balls. End quote. End comment.
Damn. Well, there's a comment. Hatter, are you back to hear it? I don't know when you got back. Did you hear Wayne?
Part of it, but I had somebody come to the door, so I wasn't able to follow.
Okay, no problem. I just didn't want to not check with you.
Yeah. That's
AP,
okay.
Can you read Lockdown Lars for me?
Of course, can. No dramas at all. Let me get to the back to the. I was too busy enjoying Monty Python, as you do, Deb. Greatly, beautifully written. This is The Black Rain, I think, that you've put on the board by Lockdown Lux, and it goes a little bit like this. Three, before the explosion of light, dominating a universe's history of an advancing spectrum fight. The colours of light are dancing. Since the dawn of space and time, does black welcome romancing? Could there be a marriage sublime? Black plays its cards close to chest, a sentiment not giving much away. Its singularity they try to test. But black ensures night follows day. The sentinel flirts every night when eyes close and black reigns. In dreams, a teasing of its fright, the soul of sentinel remains. Patiently black waits in the shadows, plotting its most grave of role, to finally overcome the light it knows in the dawning of a black hole. End poem.
Great read, thank you. And he captured, obviously his art is of a black hole, and I like the title, The Black Rain. Black is the great mystery before the explosion of light, dominating a universe history of an advancing spectrum light. I love the descriptions there. And the sentient flirts every night with eyes closed. And black rains in dreams, a teasing of its fright, the soul of sentient remains. I like that, the dreams of teasing of its fright. Very clever wording. And what I write last time, excellent brevity, so glad you sent in. The metaphors, teasing of twilight is fantastic. I think this was an awesome poem. And think about every picture you've ever seen of a black hole, and he just took us inside. Very cool. Thank you, Larks. And AP, you read, I think.
Yeah, look, I like the sort of sense of forgiven playfulness about this poem, and I think that's the thing. Lockdown Larks always been able to rhyme a poem, but he's got much better and more intricate in telling stories, and he's got much better at working out a perspective that's quite different to run with. And so, yeah, I think those are the things that drive the poem and make it a good read.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, what do you think?
Well, he makes black look kind of shady. He wrote this. It's pretty good. He got a black metaphors throughout the poem. Sentiment was great. I like what he said. Black waits in the shadows, plotting its most grave of roles. I like the black in his poem. It's somebody I tend to like a lot. This is a poem is a cool write, and I enjoyed it a whole lot. Good job.
Great comment. Now, if you take a peek at the board. I have the last four up there. I'll read for Jay, and then I'll have Hadar, I'm assuming that you want AP to read for you? Is that?
Yes, please. Yes.
Thanks. All right, so click on Jay's, and I'll read for her, and then we'll have AP read for you. And this is called Silent Black, Talking Back by Jay Showalter. And here we go. Black is spooky in a cave, hushed and solemn at a grave, an outcast from society, a lone black sheep variety. In a dress, it slims the hips, goth when worn on nails and lips. The shroud that lays the dead away, come hither, sexy lingerie. The airplane box whose secrets tell what went wrong and why it fell. Mail that threatens and demands, blacking out right where we stand. For a necktie, formal wear, the bad guy hat, heroes beware. A belt worn by a martial artist, the color of the evil-hearted. our morning coffee love affair, a hole in space to who knows where. Secrets, magic, vigilance, evil death and elegance. In a subtle, silent way, from raven black to charcoal gray, black shortas have a lot to say. End poem. You know, I like the way she did these. For the red show, she had all these different reds, and then here we go with the same with the black, but really cool, like the black, the goth nail polish and the airplane box with the secrets to tell, neckties for formal wear and the bad guy hat, heroes beware. I like the way she played with this, our morning coffee love affair, yes, but not black for me. I need cream and sugar. But no, this is so cool, and I like the ending too. From raven black to charcoal gray, black sure had a lot to say. And it's true. I mean, when you sit down with one color in mind and start thinking of all the things around you in that particular color, sometimes it can be pretty mind-blowing to realize that who'd have thought that there were actually that many things. So I like, again, I like how she tackled these. And Jay, it was my honor to be your reader. Thank you again for supporting the show. Wayne, what do you think?
Well, I like to pull a whole lot. This is pretty great. Black with a lot of style. Knew how to dress, knew how to act. He knew how to make a scene. This poem covers everything from secrets, magic, villages, evil, death, and elegance, all wrapped into one. It's a great poem, and I enjoyed it a whole lot. I like this right here. It's kind of something I think is pretty neat.
Great comment. And AP, what do you think?
I've got a question for you first, Deb.
Sure.
Which country and person invented the black box for aircraft crashes?
Well, my first thought would always be to say Australia because you brought it up, but that would just be a cocky guess, I guess. I truly don't know.
A scientist, an Australian scientist from Melbourne, David Warren, in the mid-1950s, invented the black box. He kicked around for a number of years, couldn't get support for it. So finally went to Britain, and they recognised what a fantastic thing it was. The government here legislated that all the airliners had to have black boxes in 1962, becoming the first country in the world to actually have black box recordings. The rest of the world followed. It's just an aside, but it's really interesting because I love the detail in the poem. I love where she took black. I love the perspectives, and I love that she can go from lingerie to black boxes and do it so elegantly. And, I really like the poem. I like her writing. It's really, really, really good.
Great comment. And Hatter? Hatter, are you muted?
Yeah, I'm muted. I should take care of something, too. Sorry.
No problem. Wayne?
I already commented once, so I'll go.
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember for sure. Thank you, Wayne. All right. AP, if you would read for Hatter,
yep.
Please.
Yes. This is an oldie patter. This is from December 2013. This is Crow. It goes a little bit like this. That morning I sat watching the trees when I noticed something staring at me. Two dark little eyes in concert with mine drew a cowardly feeling that raced down my spine. When a whistling pot I rose to attend, the window left open, I heard him fly in. On the chair he lit just as he pleased with those black little eyes staring at me. He began to speak in riddles and rhymes. The words he spoke could have been mine. A life you possessed alone these past years, to those you left it brought sorrow and tears. Why are you here, and how do you know? He ruffled his feathers, for I am a crow. I spoke to you once while at the stream. I am the one you hear when lost in your dreams. I've come to help you, and to guide you home. Be lost you will, if you try it alone. I will show you how, and with me as your guide, I shall give you wings, I'll teach you to fly. Set in confusion, I've only one thing to say. Is it possible, please, that I not leave here today? His answer was quick, and he raised his voice. It's already happened, you have no choice. Talked, we sat for hours, it seemed. A talking crow, he sat as if in a dream. With wings from a blackbird, I flew to the sky, effortlessly soaring with a crow at my side. Feel not saddened, for I am now free of the sins and regrets that weighed so on me. Without the thoughts I believed I would know, flying alongside this rambling crow. I now take leave of the things I believed would help me through this time. There's no place like home, but I feel I'm alone, learning how to write this in rhyme. There's one thing you'll take is the how much you make to the heavens high above. With no map to see where it might be, you'll get to carry all of your love in poem.
Great read. Thank you. You know, I remember this one too, and I got to read it for you at that time. And it was like one of your longest, but it was filled with so much. And I, like, sheesh, when a whistling pot I rose to attend, the window left open, I heard him fly in on the chair he lit just as he pleased with those black little eyes staring at me. And could you imagine? And if it, usually they come in and it, and then they're freaked out and they're running around flying into things and sadly flying into the glass trying to get back out the window and stuff. So just the thought that it was sitting there staring you in the eye is pretty cool. But the details all the way through to the end there with no map to see where it might be, you'll get to carry all of your love. I thought that was cool. And Hatter, I was noticing, okay, it's a multi-award winning poem. It's been on the front page. It's on more than a half a dozen lists. And it's got only 78 likes. I kind of feel like this was a popular poem for Hatter. And I'm one of the ones that have it on a list. And I'm looking at some of the names. That's pretty cool. I'm glad you pulled it out. Great share. AP, what you think?
Thank you, Gavin.
Oh, I really like the author's note about the Yaqua Indians revering the crow as a spirit guide, and that sort of sense of purpose and meaning sort of shines through the poem, and I just think it's got a beautiful sort of central guiding light to it, and everything sort of falls off that, so. Yeah, really, really good choice, Hatter.
Great comment. And Wayne, what you think?
Well, I'm in a state of shock. Hatter wrote a classic. This is freshly written with a great storyline. I haven't seen another poem like this by Hatter. It's like I said, I'm in a state of shock. This is the winner makes Hatter a superstar. This is a classic. Great job. Enjoy this.
Thanks, Wayne.
Awesome comment.
Welcome. Great job.
Right, and we are down to the last two. I guess I'll read for Angel, and then I'll have AP read the last one. This one's
Good.
Called.
I gotta go.
Okay.
Go. I'm sorry.
Thanks.
I'll check on
okay.
Hatter. It's cool.
Thanks.
Man. Okay. Sorry about that. I wish he would go to the hospital or something. Okay, this is called You Are the Music by Heavenly Angel. And here we come. My life was black as midnight, not fit even for the sewer, a pigsty. All I cared to do was live in sweatpants and park on the sofa, dwindling the days away. Living each day was a hairy experience. Damage inflicted by others clogged the veins of my existence. Then you entered my life as a drink of cool, fresh water to a parched, thirsty soul. We were in tune from the very beginning, Our heart beats in sync with one another. Our love, each page is a melody composed in liquid gold. Each note stuck into my memory. You're my love song, my rhapsody. Together we compose symphonies, skyrockets past silvery moon, skip upon the stars, on music of forever. End poem. Oozing romance, and I love the thought of that. You are the music. Then you entered my life as a cool, fresh water to a parched, thirsty soul. I love that part. Our love, each page is a melody composed in liquid gold. Each note stuck into my memory. You're my love song, my rhapsody. Her poems always ooze love and romance, and the declarations of love through them are always so beautiful. And she's another one. This is a multi-award-winning poem already. And I think that more rare, it's rarer for her to show up with something that does not have a medal than ones that do. Just about every single poem that she presents on the shows are award winners. So congrats on that, Angel. Honored to be your reader. Let me get you a couple comments. Wayne, what do you think?
Well, I thought you did a wonderful job reading it. I had to bring Borbs downstairs. She was meowing like crazy. I'm downstairs outside now, but you did a great job reading it. It's a very romantic poem, and I couldn't get over how well you read it. I didn't get to follow along with it, but it sounded great, and you read it great, and I love the poem. Good job.
Thank you so much, Wayne. AP, can you comment and then read that last poem for us?
Of course. It was a lovely sense of thanks and optimism and positiveness about her writing, and this is a great example of that. Where you have clearly a situation that looks pretty grim, and she's reflected back on that and done it in a very positive way. Tech, I'm finishing with an LG Mace brevity, and it's called Black Thorned Rose, and it goes a little bit like this. The black thorned rose has pricked my heart and bleeds to die. And I, in my black solitary misery, in my sepulchral corner, do nothing but cry. Such contrast of shiny, cold, dark colour, and the bright shade in bleeding flood of red. If only that black could bring back to life from the dead. And turn my black-thorned rose to the innocent love. Field rose of crimson instead, in poem.
Great read, thank you. Black thorned rose. The art that she chose is a hand in a black glove holding a black rose, and there's a drip of blood too. The black thorned rose has pricked my heart and bleeds to die. What an opening! I thought that was a really potent opening. Such a contrast to shiny, cold, dark color and the bright shade of bleeding flood of red. The bleeding flood of red. What a description. And the end, the innocent love filled rose of crimson instead. Crimson instead. I think that this was a very clever brevity, and it spoke quite well of the art that she chose. And AP, you read great. What do you think of the poem?
I really like this one. And that contrast of black and red, and using the rose and using the thorns, and it just came together really well, beautifully put together. Yep.
Great comment. And Wayne, you get the last. Oh, he had to hang up. Okay, so then that was you with the last comment of the night, AP. I appreciate you staying and helping me read those ones out. reminding everyone that tomorrow night is Sweet Pea's interview with whoever, whatever. Can't wait. Very excited. 10 p.m. And I want to say thank you to our sponsor, A.P. Taylor, and our board member, A.P. Taylor, and also my board members, Sweet Pea and Hatter. Appreciate you very much. I want to say, again, I'm glad you're out of the hospital, Titus. Thank you for the poems. Thank you, Gerald. Thank you, Jay, Angel, Larks, Wayne, LG, Gress. And I look forward to hanging out with you next week. But right this minute, I look forward to hanging out with you more tomorrow at Sweet Show. It should be very interesting, especially since she's interviewing Common Sense. Can you imagine? on that note, I think I'm going to make sure. I just want to make sure nobody called at the last minute. And I would like to say that the topic board for next week will be up in a few moments. And I appreciate you all. And we will see you next week. Love and respect, everyone.
Great show. Thanks. Well done. And talk everybody soon. Bye, Deb.
All right. Night.